So we're beginning in the new year, and it's about this time where a lot of Christians excitedly begin reading the Bible through the year, and we're all Genesis, and by February, a lot will die on the wayside reading Leviticus. So what I want to do now is talk a little bit about reading the Bible. If you're like me, you've had difficulty in your life at points about reading, understanding, and then living out what the Bible actually says. I can remember being a college sophomore and thinking, I really want to read this book. It seems to be somewhat significant, so I'll try. And for me, I thought, I'm not going to have the attention span if it gets, you know, all genealogy in there, so I'm going to read Revelation first. Not necessarily the great place to start. I had no idea what was going on and sort of gave up for a while. Reading can be a daunting task because we tell ourselves something that probably isn't exactly true. We tell ourselves we don't have time. And then even if we find the time, sometimes it's hard to really get what we're reading. I want to challenge us a little bit on the time piece and say, I know we're all Americans, which means we're all busy, we're all overdoing a lot of things, but we have time. I've read the stats on binge-watching in America. We actually have time if you want to carve it out and read the Bible. And I would actually encourage and challenge you to make it a priority time. Not to let it be that last thing when you're tired and have done everything else you want. Take that time when you're really awake and alert. I know some people, or more or morning people, love doing it then. Some people take their Bibles at lunchtime and read them. Find a time that's actually good for you. That's quiet, you're awake and alert. Understanding becomes really the second issue. A lot of that has to do with Bible study. When I was in seminary, there was a guy named Dr. Howard Hendricks, who was considered one of the great Bible study teachers of America at that time, and he taught us thoroughly how to study the Bible. It's really simple. He believed anyone could become a good Bible student, just have observation, interpretation, and application. See what it actually says again and again and again. And he would have us read a passage, I'm not joking, for like 3 weeks straight, where seminary students, he hands us at Acts 1:8, he says, write up 25 observations from this. We write them out, hand them in the next day in class, call us back together again and teaching. Goes, by the way, today's assignment, Acts 1:8, 25 observations. It went on for 2 weeks. To the point where we're then counting the letters, just trying desperately to find something new to observe. And his point was, we don't take enough time. We read through and gloss through it, and we don't actually let the scriptures saturate us. We haven't really observed everything that's there just because we let our eyes scan over it quickly like it was a geometry book. We just don't get it that way. We need to observe it deeply. And then interpretation, what does it mean? And application, how do I then apply it? It was really, really thorough. But I thought one thing could be improved upon this, with all deference to a guy who was more bright, more copy than I will be in this lifetime. Study can leave us with just understanding and not experience. And I think it was Thomas Kempis who said in Imitation of Christ, I would rather feel contrition than simply know the definition and not feel it. And I think that can happen if we become just Bible scholars. If we just read it and get the information. Frankly, I've read books on different books of the Bible written by scholars who do not believe the gospel, just believe in studying and then reading it and analyzing it. So there's a difference between studying about God and experiencing God. And I think we're actually meant to experience the presence of God when we're reading the scripture. So I wanted to talk to us today as a church about something called Lectio Forum Deo. You may have heard this. It's Terry's way of reading through the Bible to make disciples, to experience God as we're reading the scriptures. Our small groups are all based upon this. When we began our church, I taught the first small group who would become leaders of the church, some of whom are still here to this day, this method. A lot of them had been Christians for decades, and I still remember was struck and encouraged by one couple who had said, we've been reading the Bible for 20 years plus. And now we're actually getting more out of the Bible. We were reading sort of out of obligation, occasionally finding really good stuff that God had for us, but this has changed the way we're engaging the Bible. So what I want us to do is to take some time today to actually practice this. But this is why you have the back of the guide page and your pens, as well as the scriptures that we're going to go through. Also on the back of that guide page, you'll see the spots for writing internal, external, external. And that's really going to be our roadmap for today, to talk about what does the Bible say in an eternal sense, internal sense, and an external sense. There is this kind of Rorschach drawing. I don't know why they do Rorschach tests. They always look the same, but it's me sitting in a giant throne every time they show me pictures. If you have your phone take a picture of that, it should take you to a card online for Lectio Quarumdeo, a PDF file, that will tell you everything about what this reading method is really about. Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into actually practicing this out of Joshua chapter 1. Gracious Father in heaven, you are good to us always, in all ways. And Lord, you have been good in that you deigned to communicate to us. From the beginning, it was your word that gave the power of creation. It was your living word who came to proclaim salvation. And Lord, your spirit-imbued and guided written word still guides us towards you. Father, we are grateful. Help us to live out that gratitude by engaging you deeply in the midst of your word. Father, I pray for myself and this congregation that you would help us day to day, month to month this year ahead, to be men and women of this book more and more, but in a way that will bring us to you, not just protect us, Lord, from just knowing about you. Lord, don't let us just collect dry firewood as though information was just to be stacked in those boards. We ask your spirit would help those piles of wood, the things that will pull out of scripture, just blaze bright in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name for his greater glory. Amen. Lectio Quarumdeo is a Latin phrase. It means reading in the presence of God. And that's what we want to get to. It's very different just to be reading and understanding than to be with God as you're reading this. For that end, there are three ways that we'll look at this. And I believe these are lenses that are universal to all people, whether Christian or not. All of us have this lens where we believe there is something more, higher than us, real truth, something eternal. We'll call that being a mystic. That we believe there's something unseen that is the cohesive, unifying center of all these things for us. We would say that's Jesus, the preeminent one in all things. When I say mystic, don't be wrong. I don't mean patchouli and crystals. I don't mean toast that's burned and you see Jesus' face in it. I mean mystic simply in the sense that we're seeking after the invisible eternal God. And that's a spiritual reality of the journey of a mystic. Secondly, we all see life as pilgrims. We all have this internal journey. It's your pilgrimage. And your story is different than everyone else's story. The family you were born to, the great trials that shaped you, the great triumphs that gave you blessings, the giftedness that God designed in you, the way you have experienced sin, reconciliation, and redemption in your life, all part of your pilgrimage. You and I can read the same passage and walk away with greatly different applications of those passages, greatly different experience and where they spoke to us, encouraged us, corrected us, shaped us. Lastly, every man, woman, and child, besides having an eternal sense of how things are in the world, an internal sense of who they are in the world, have an external sense of the impact we will have on the world. Everyone has influence and legacy. God will talk about us being missionaries and ambassadors that are sent out. That's sort of reading in that third area. What does this mean about me representing to others, everyone, from my family to the people I work with to the stranger? When I'm reading this Bible, how does it shape me as a missionary? So kind of that 360 full discipleship is to be a mystic, pilgrim, and missionary. I see it almost like three legs on a stool. They all need to be there. If you only have two, if you say, I just want to read about God and help myself. Two-legged stools aren't really a thing. That's like sitting on a ladder. It doesn't really work well. So we want to be able to be full disciples as we're reading. Mystics, pilgrims, and missionaries. Here's how we're going to do this today. I'm going to read Joshua 1, 1 through 9. I'm going to try to read normally, more slowly than I normally do, because I want us to have room for the Holy Spirit of God to be able to be speaking to us as we're hearing the word. If you've ever seen someone with an interpreter, I'm going to try to read it about that pace with a little bit of time, so that we have a moment as the scriptures are promised. We're not rushing through it. There's no race. There's nothing more important to do in this moment. So I'll read that, and then we'll take 3 minutes, and you'll take pens and start to write on the eternal piece, the mystic piece. To do this, it's not just stuff about God, remember. It's engaging him. So when you're reading it, some of the questions you can ask, I think we'll get that up now in the next slide. I think it's, I'm wrong. I'll say, so here's some of the questions you can ask. Things like, who are you, God? Find yourself speaking to God through considering things, not about them. What are your characteristics? What do I learn about you, particularly from this passage? What do you do and do not do? Who are you in your being? How do you communicate? It's a good place to start to clear your mind of all your preconceived notions and let God live and reveal himself through this passage. That's what reading before his face means. In this section, when I write the notes, I like to then pray them back to God. It makes sure that I'm having a relationship with him about what I'm reviewing and not just info dumps about him that I can write down in a notebook. I have a lot of notebooks from seminary that I've never looked at twice. Prayers that I've written down, those kind of reorient me at different times to pick up an old prayer journal and like, yeah, Lord, I do remember that part of the conversation. We need to talk about that again. So I'm going to read Joshua 1:1-9 fairly slowly. We'll then have about 3 minutes to go through that. We're going to do that again with the pilgrim section, but not with the missionary one. We'll get the idea by then, and we'll just talk about that. So let me read, and feel free to write even as I'm reading, and we'll take 3 minutes. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, and the Lord your God is with you forever. Take 3 minutes and just be ready to God about the things you see about you. Focus on praying back to God some of these things. I'm just going to pray back to God. Please join me in some of the things that I pulled out of there during this time. You can see how much there is that our Lord reveals. God, you're greater than the lives of all men and women you created. God, you speak from one generation to the next, and you tell us that you will accomplish your plans through us. God, you give us commands in our lives, and you encourage us. Our Heavenly Father, you're with us, you've promised many times. God, you give us your word to shape men and women. And Lord, you are a patient teacher with us, repeating things for us. Lord, you know the places where we dwell and even where we will dwell. Lord, you make promises that you remember. Your presence takes away our fear. Lord, you are accessible to us every minute, day and night. Lord, you give us a place to be together and with you, and you call the men and women who follow you your servants. You are magnificent, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. Imagine you're taking that passage and doing that 2 or 3 times a week. And you're going to have a deep sense of what that Bible passage not only says, but how do you engage with God through it? Building a relationship with Him. And even the simple act of making Him first makes it different than a lot of our Bible reading, which we're kind of selfish. We open the Bible on our own. Usually it's, what can I get out of it? How do you fix me? It's the worship again. I'm on the throne. But instead, we put Him first. Second reading is that internal or pilgrim reading. We go through that, and we ask ourselves questions like, as I see the Lord, what does He say to me as a child of God at this time in my life, through this passage, on my journey? What does He say particularly with my history or my circumstances or dealing with other people? How is God speaking to my most inner level? Sometimes that pilgrim side of reading the Bible like this is helped by asking questions like, who do I sympathize with in this passage? Why is my heart so for Peter as he stumbles? Or why is my heart so judgmental about Peter as he stumbles? A lot of times the narrative we composer of the Bible tells us a lot about our pilgrimage. So let's do this. We're going to read through this passage one more time. The last time we'll do this today. And then we'll take another 3 minutes and be able to talk about those internal pieces. Joshua 1:1-9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So I have not commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Take another quiet 2.5 minutes. This place of entering in as a pilgrim, that internal journey, this is a great place for developing questions about your own Bible study or if you're leading Bible studies with other people. These questions are the ones that everyone will end up talking about. Because we all talk about our favorite subject, right? Us and our lives and what's going on. So instead of praying these things back to God, what I've got to do is distill a few questions on it. There was a whole lot about the word servant, and that Moses was a servant, and Joshua was a servant, and man. So I had this question of, what's different about living and dying as God's servant versus spending my life and dying from self-motivation? Just doing what I want versus being God's servant. And how is my life reflecting one or the other this time? The word fear came up a bunch. Don't be afraid, be courageous. And not only that, he repeats it multiple times. So I have a question here to ask people. What places has God spoken to you multiple times about your fears? Your fears of circumstances, your fears of what could happen to family, your fears of what could happen to finances. Where does he speak multiple times to you and say, don't be afraid? Get into that time a little bit. Yeah. And then lastly, I said a question of, what's this all about? Who is the main character? It's not about Moses, really. It's not about Joshua, really. It's really about God and his people, his plan, his provisions for them, and a place for them, ultimately. There's this great gospel story in Joshua that you might come up with very different things as you read this book. You may say, oh, this is a story about generational change. This is about a younger generation moving into what it should be doing. Or this is a story that's sad because Moses wasn't able to accomplish entering into the land. You might find you recognize different things. keep those things. I saw some people writing on their phones like that, you know, and sort of store it that way. And the next time you find yourself in a passage that you've gone through as you're studying these and keeping these, you're creating your own spiritual journal of the entire Bible if you keep doing those kinds of readings. Last one is when we read as a missionary. And we ask ourselves questions like, how would our culture receive this? See, there are some things about how God designed us in this world that remain. Some are damaged and some are just utterly ruined. Would they fight against this as their replacement? They would say, we agree with some of this. Who would be a person that you would most want to share this with, and why? How might your responses to this impact your life at home or work or even the people that you just like to have fun and leisure with? What mission is God calling me to impact who from this? Those are the kinds of questions we ask as missionaries as we read this. And so if you've gone through this time, for me, it's usually more than 3 minutes. We're just here at church, and I don't want to take all the time on this. It's usually 5 to 10 per, and you know, an hour a day with the passage. You're going to find that it really benefits, because it's not just information. It's changing and developing to make you a better equipped mystic to chase after and talk to your God. A better pilgrim who understands their standing in this world and where they're facing and why they're there. And a better missionary who can live that legacy now of the mission of God. I just wanted to break from the Matthew sermon for this one Sunday to be able to do that, because I think it's always important as we're getting ready to read the Bible again at the beginning of the year to be able to have that understanding of that. It's actually, if you're in Terra's small groups or tribes, this is how it's built. And if you're sitting there going, we've never done that in tribe, please email your tribe leader's name. Don't. let me pray, because I want to wrap up this section, and then we have something to celebrate in the church. So let me pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful. Lord, you live through your word, you live in us. Help us to find those intersections, Lord, where we can deeply engage with you through your book. Help us to become more like Jesus in our pilgrimage, Lord, and help us to be able to share the glorious truth of your saving gospel to those around us. In Christ's name.